Clipper Audio present an unabridged recording of Notes to Self by Emily Pine, narrated by Emily Pine. Author's note. Early one Sunday morning in 2013, my father began to vomit blood. He was hemorrhaging from a hole in the wall of his esophagus, a hole burned by decades of alcohol abuse. He sent me a panicked text telling me he was bleeding. I was still in bed. I heard the phone beep. I saw the message. And then I lay there for a while, wondering what it would take to ignore him. It is hard to love an addict. It is harder to walk away. That morning, I phoned my dad and I went to help him. Now, 6 years on, he is alive and not drinking. Two facts I could not have imagined until very recently. Neither could I have imagined writing about him, about his addiction, about our relationship. But as he slowly regained his health and our lives found their new normal, I discovered that I was still lost, still trying to make sense of everything that had happened, trying to make sense of my own contradictions. I started to write notes to myself, to get my thoughts down on paper and out of my head. I wrote in a blur, and when I had a record of the past year written out, I printed it and carefully put the pages in a drawer. Tidying up one day, my partner found those pages and began to read. He asked me what I was going to do with them. "Leave them in the drawer," I said. He smiled. "They're very good," he said. It took me 2 years to build up enough courage to show those notes to anyone else. In October 2016, I sent them to Tramp Press, a two-woman independent feminist press in Ireland. A couple of months later, they asked me to lunch. They said they loved the piece, and then they asked if I had a book in me. I was surprised. "What would I write about?" I asked. "Anything you like," they said. "Essays, maybe." There are many valid reasons why people keep difficult experiences private. Talking about them can feel like exposing a raw nerve. It can make us afraid of others' judgments. It can make us feel more, not less, alone. And so we keep quiet. But it's not just the risk of public exposure that silences us. Our self-censorship is so often due to that disapproving inner critic whose voice tells us that our lives are too small, or too messy, or too painful to share. I didn't want to listen to that critical, belittling voice any longer, and the possibility of an essay collection was the permission I needed. On the bus home that day, I thought about all the things I really wanted to say. I took out a scrap of paper and scribbled down 5 ideas, the things that burned inside me to be let out. I got home and, still in my coat, sat at the kitchen table and began to write. These essays, the result of all that writing, contain many events and emotions that I have never told to anyone before, or even, in places, admitted to myself. Writing down these experiences has been very painful. That I have not avoided this pain is due to one simple reason. The urge to write felt not only dangerous and fearful, but necessary. I wrote these essays to reclaim those parts of me that for so long I so thoroughly denied. I wrote them because it was the most powerful thing I could think of to do. It is not always easy, though, this unlocking of secrets. In the lead up to publication, I got cold feet. As the book was going to press, Ireland was in the midst of a referendum to legalise abortion, which had constitutionally been banned since 1983. Many brave women and men were sharing their stories, revealing their heartache in an effort to help others and to change how women's bodies are legislated. I saw their bravery and I saw the emotional cost of it. I also saw that through their stories, their emotional labour, the referendum passed, and women in Ireland became equal citizens. But still, I was afraid. I asked Tramp Press if they could publish the book quietly so that no one would notice it. They smiled and asked me to trust them. When the book came out, people noticed. It hit the bestseller list, then it got